Heavy rain and flooding across the state this August led to the declaration of a statewide state of emergency. Now, researchers at UW-Madison are looking back at what happened in Dane County and trying to determine how often the region can expect similar storms and to learn lessons for communities around the state about how to deal with the risk of future flooding. Daniel Wright is an assistant professor in the Department of Civil and Environmental Engineering at UW-Madison. He's the author of a recent piece on wiscontext.org titled, What Could Happen the Next Time Madison Gets Hit by Extreme Rainfall? Daniel, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you. Well, before we get into the specifics of your research and on flooding in the Madison area, you didn't use the word wake-up call in this piece on wiscontext, but it really seems like a wake-up call, not just for Madison, but for any community that might experience a risk of flooding.
Yeah, I think that's a reasonable way to put it. And honestly, from some of the analysis that I've done in the wake of these floods, it actually looks like Madison has been fairly lucky over the past several decades. And so what happened on August 20th shouldn't really be unprecedented by the standards of the climate in southern Wisconsin.
Well, let's take us into that storm. Madison, you focused on here, Madison and the local watershed got hit with a pretty big rain. It could have been way worse if the storm was just a little bit different in its path. Can you take us back to that day?
Yeah, certainly. So the real bulk of the rainfall was actually slightly west of the watershed. And when we say the watershed here, what we're talking about is the area, it's about 280 square miles, that drains into Lakes Mendota and Monona. And so actually the center of the rainstorm, those places where these 24-hour state rainfall records were set, you know, rainfalls on the order of 14 or 15 inches, that was actually west of the watershed. And so that water didn't actually end up getting into the chain of lakes here in Madison. And so what we did have over the watershed was about 4.5 inches of rainfall, which works out to more than 30,000 Olympic-sized swimming pools. But if that storm had occurred just 10 or 15 miles farther east, that could have been up to 8 inches of rainfall, so almost double the amount that we actually saw. And it's, I think, fair to assume that if that had actually taken place, the consequences in terms of flooding in Madison would have been much, much worse.
And let's look at how you do some of this research. We've talked about this a little bit on the show. Researchers, you and others, take storms and kind of transpose them to different geographical areas and say, okay, what would have happened if this storm hit here? And you're taking it to another step. How likely would that be?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. So the basic notion here is that if a storm occurs somewhere near Madison, but not right over Madison exactly, then we can actually use that piece of information to tell us more about not only what potential outcomes might happen over the city and its watershed, but also how likely that sort of event might be. And so so for this particular project, we ended up looking at radar rainfall observations, so the same things that you see shown on the Weather Channel, and identifying major storms over the past about 15 years. And when you look at it from that perspective, the storm that we had here on August 20th was actually only about the fourth largest. And in fact, the storms that occurred farther west in the western part of the state about a week later were even a little bit larger than what we had here.
Talk about what a city like Madison, and there are other communities that could do a similar thing, can do with this kind of information.
Yeah, I think it's really useful for adding some context for what comes next. And so within Madison and frankly in communities around the country, there are a lot of conversations taking place now about what needs to be done to improve our infrastructure to stand up against events like this or even perhaps even larger events. And so what we can do is say, well, how likely is an event like the storm and flooding that we had in August here in Madison? And so the piece of software that I've developed and that my research group is continuing to push forward on gives us an estimate that says that a storm just like the one that we saw here on August 20th could occur on average once every 15 years or so in this area. Now there's some wiggle room on either side of that because, of course, the weather and climate is somewhat uncertain. But that estimate of about once every 15 years, I think, is a pretty good best guess. And so what that means is that's, you know, not something that is never going to happen again in our lifetimes. And so when we think about going forward, improving our stormwater management infrastructure, improving the management of our lakes, and improving our stormwater ordinances. So when, for example, developers want to do some sort of new construction, how they have to manage the runoff from that site, that sort of context can help to frame those sorts of discussions.
Talking to Daniel Wright from the UW-Madison Department of Civil and Environmental Engineering about a piece he wrote on WisContext about flooding, focusing on Madison lessons for communities around the state, I think. Want to get into a couple maybe points of confusion for the public. We hear often thrown around phrases after a big weather event like, oh, this was a 100-year storm or a 1,000-year weather event or something like that, which should not, if I have this correctly, make us think like, oh, well, we got that out of the way. We've got another 1,000 years to the next one. That is not how it works.
Yes, that's absolutely correct. So all that 100-year storm terminology means is that it's a storm that you would expect to happen on average once every 100 years. But anyone who's been to Las Vegas and played the odds on any sort of card game or anything else knows that just because the probability works one way doesn't mean that reality is going to turn out in exactly the way that you think. And so what that means is that you can have multiple 100-year storms or 100-year floods over, you know, relatively short periods of time. And on top of all of that, we have the issue of a warming climate, which basically adds more humidity to the atmosphere, which makes these storms more frequent, and when they do occur, larger. And so both in the upper Midwest and other parts of the country, there are very clear indications in our rainfall records that extreme rainfall events, particularly in the summertime, the types of events that we saw here and throughout Wisconsin in August are becoming more and more frequent.
To take you back to Vegas, it sounds like climate change is loading the dice a little bit. It doesn't mean we're going to have a flood every single year. It doesn't mean we can't go 5-10 years without a flood, but the odds of a flood any given year are higher.
That's absolutely right. And to rely only on our experiences from the past to make decisions going forward about how we're going to respond to these sorts of changes, in my opinion, is a big mistake. And we need to turn to, you know, cutting edge climate science and advances in my field of hydrology and water resources engineering as well.
You mentioned storm runoff earlier, and reading your piece, it seems like a very different event if that 8 inches fell in a forest, in farmland, or on concrete, on a city with limited absorption capacity, I guess.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. So, you know, it's clear that if you pave over an area, that area is no longer there, able to soak up heavy rainfall. And so in the case of Madison, you know, before the city of Madison was built up, this was all a wetland. And so now when you have heavy rainstorms, that water has to go somewhere. And so it's not able to soak into the soils. It's not, you know, filling up what used to be wetland areas. And so it has to go into the lakes, and the lake levels rise. In some cases, they can, and this is what we had here in Madison in August, the lake levels can rise so high that the stormwater sewers, which all are supposed to drain into the lakes, are no longer able to move water the way they're supposed to because there's nowhere for that water to go.
Is there a civic engineering solution to that? I've heard of things like permeable surfaces, concrete or asphalt, I can't remember what. Is that one possible solution?
Well, I think the right approach here is to look at all of the possible solutions, because I think particularly in the case of Madison, it's actually the case where there's not going to be one solution. There's not one magic bullet to this problem. You know, we've built up the area so much that we've sort of backed ourselves into a bit of a corner. Things like permeable pavements, rain gardens, rain barrels, green roofs, these are all so-called green infrastructure options that can perhaps move the needle a little bit. But on the other hand, I think that ultimately some bigger picture solutions are going to be necessary as well. So stricter stormwater management ordinances. We already have some of the strongest ordinances in the state, but there's fairly strong evidence that the ordinances even need to be a little bit stronger still to make sure that we're not making this problem worse in the future. And then also some reevaluation of how we manage the chain of lakes here. So Lake Mendota, for example, is that the level in that lake is able to be controlled by Tenney Dam. And so if the lake level had been lower prior to the August 20th storm, the impacts would have been less severe than they actually were.
As we wrap up, let's go back to the wake-up call idea. Are you hoping that leaders, both in Madison and in any community that might experience floods, will take this year's lessons and start trying to solve them now for next time?
That's certainly my hope, yes.
All right. We'll leave it there. Thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you.
That was Daniel Ryder, the Department of Civil and Environmental Engineering at UW-Madison. You can read his piece about the increased likelihood of storms like we had in August online at wiscontext.org. And tomorrow after 4:30, we'll get an update on the current flooding and weather situation around the state. And we'll ask for your personal stories about flooding this year and how you, maybe your property, your community, are recovering.